The Art of Remembering. That's a Stennis memorial.
When the time comes, Stennis Granite Company offers expertly designed custom memorials from the smallest footstone to the largest monument. With the help of Stennis Granite, your ideas become a unique expression of the person it memorializes. Each design is custom created and handcrafted in-house. Whether pre-planning for your own peace of mind or choosing the perfect memorial legacy for a loved one, Stennis Granite is with you from concept to completion. Please view the Stennis online gallery at stennisgranite.com and trust your memories to Stennis Granite Company in East Grand Forks.
Should your drive take an unexpected turn, keep Crookston Collision Center in mind. They'll fix your car right and on time, restoring it to its pre-accident condition. Bruised egos? Well, that's another story. So until you need Crookston Collision Center, drive on, and may the road rise up to meet you.
This is Corey from Crookston Collision Center. Don't worry, Crookston Collision Center is standing by. Stop by our shop on University Avenue, next to the Dairy Queen, or give us a call at 281-6692.
Taking a look at our noontime news here on this Tuesday, May 14th. You're in tune to the Voice of the Valley, AM 1260 KROX in Crookston, FM 105.7 K289CE of Grand Forks, online at KROXAM.com, on the free KROX mobile app, and on Amazon's Alexa. Just say, Alexa, listen to KROX Crookston. Good afternoon, I'm Leo Blavin. President Donald Trump is dismissing a report that the U.S. is planning for a military conflict with Iran. Trump was responding to Tuesday's report in the New York Times that the White House is reviewing military plans against Iran that could result in sending 120,000 U.S. troops to the Middle East if Iran attacks American forces or steps up work on nuclear weapons. U.S. Secretary of State Mike Pompeo says he warned the Russian foreign minister against interference in the next American presidential election. Pompeo has said at a news conference after 3 hours of talks with Foreign Minister Sergei Lavrov that interference in American elections is unacceptable, and if the Russians were engaged in that in 2020, it would put our relationship in an even worse place than it has been. Pompeo also said that the United States wants to avoid war with Iran. President Donald Trump is downplaying the escalating trade dispute between the U.S. and China as nothing more than a little squabble between friends. Trump says he thinks things will turn out extremely well because we're in a very strong position. Trade talks between the two countries have broken down, with U.S. officials listing $300 billion more in Chinese goods for possible tariff hikes Tuesday, and Beijing vowing to fight to the finish. After telling Congress that he thinks spying did occur against Donald Trump's campaign, Attorney General William Barr has appointed a U.S. attorney to see if intelligence collection involving that campaign was lawful and appropriate. According to a person familiar with the decision, the U.S. attorney in Connecticut we'll also be looking at the origins of the Russia investigation. The Justice Department's Inspector General is already examining how the probe began. A fake Twitter account that tried to chat up a Saudi dissident in the United States is being linked to an Iranian disinformation operation. Canadian internet watchdog Citizen Lab says the fake account is but one piece of a vast years-old and multilingual campaign aimed at spreading anti-Saudi, anti-Israel, and anti-American stories across the internet. The Iranian government is denying it has anything to do with the digital disinformation. We'll have more noontime news here in a moment.
You were my wife. You mattered.
You were my dad. You mattered.
You were my sister. You mattered.
Every life has meaning and purpose. That's why choosing a monument to celebrate the life of a loved one is so important. At Stennis Granite, our compassionate design professionals will work with you from concept to completion to tell the story of those who matter most to you for generations to come. When it's time to choose a personalized memorial, buy directly from the monument builder you can trust, Stennis Granite in East Grand Forks. Because they mattered. Learn more at stennisgranite.com.
Should your drive take an unexpected turn, keep Crookston Collision Center in mind. They'll fix your car right and on time, restoring it to its pre-accident condition. Bruised egos? Well, that's another story. So until you need Crookston Collision Center, drive on, and may the road rise up to meet you.
This is Corey from Crookston Collision Center. Don't worry, Crookston Collision Center is standing by. Stop by our shop on University Avenue, next to the Dairy Queen, or give us a call at 281-6692.
Well, overcast skies continuing here overhead in downtown Crookston. We've had some light rain here in the past hour. Not enough to measure just yet, but overcast skies and that chance of rain will continue throughout the rest of today. It is up to 62 degrees here in downtown Crookston, again with overcast skies. We have winds out of the north at 12 miles per hour, the barometric pressure at 29.90 inches, and the humidity currently sitting at 54%. Forecast for the rest of today calls for mostly sunny skies here with isolated rain showers here in the late morning into early afternoon. Highs will still reach 70 to 75 degrees the rest of today with north winds 10 to 20 miles per hour. Our chance of showers is 20%. Tonight, mostly clear skies. Lows will dip into the mid-40s with north winds around 10 miles per hour, shifting to the east after midnight. There is a chance of rain showers throughout the rest of the week into Wednesday evening and again on Friday as well as the rest of the weekend. We'll tell you more about the upcoming forecast later on in our noontime news. But when we come back, we'll shift our focus to the state news. That's coming up after these words from First Community Credit Union and HN Quality Plumbing.
Open your eyes to a credit union. Hi, this is Jeff Callier with First Community Credit Union. I get asked time and time again, what is a credit union? It's a member-owned financial cooperative that you can be a part of. Our earnings go back to you, our member owners. And with dozens of locations, all the financial services you need, why go anywhere else? Open your eyes to a credit union. See us at First Community Credit Union today, insured by NCUA.
Been thinking of doing some remodeling in your home? If your kitchen or bathroom are part of that plan or you'd like to add a bathroom, stop by HN Quality Plumbing at 535 3rd Avenue Southwest. Take a look at their showroom. They have faucets by Moen, Delta, and American Standard on display for you to choose from. Bathtubs and sinks as well as kitchen sinks all set in a beautiful showroom.
This is Dan Neistat. Stop by and visit with us about your plumbing remodeling ideas. We're open Monday through Friday, 8 to 5, HN Quality Plumbing, 535 3rd Avenue Southwest in Crookston.
Taking a look at our state news, Governor Walz and legislative leaders met for about 20 minutes this morning, but no budget deal has been reached.
This morning's meeting was about finding a reset. We need to get this done for the people of Minnesota.
The governor didn't elaborate on what the reset entailed. There was a breakdown in negotiations last night after Governor Tim Walz said he'd agree to a smaller gas tax increase than originally proposed. And Republicans responded the increase has to be zero. Negotiations are expected to resume later today. Attorney General Keith Ellison says his office is getting more and more calls from Minnesota consumers reporting that their mental health claims are being denied by insurance companies.
This is something that we're quite concerned about. If you, as a citizen of our state, are getting denied from your mental health claims, the Minnesota Attorney General office wants to know about it.
Under the Mental Health Parity Act, health plans are supposed to apply similar rules to mental health and substance use disorder benefits as they do to physical health benefits. Ellison encourages consumers who feel they have been treated unfairly to contact his office. The man accused of throwing a 5-year-old boy from a balcony at the Mall of America pleaded guilty this morning to premeditated attempted murder.
24-year-old Emmanuel Aranda of Minneapolis faces 19 years in prison. Aranda says he went to the mall on April 12th looking for someone to kill and chose the boy at random. The child plunged almost 40 feet and suffered head trauma and multiple broken bones. In a GoFundMe post yesterday, the boy's family said he continues to heal. They're asking for continued prayers and privacy. Aranda's mother told reporters after the plea today her son needs help for mental illness and should not be in prison. Scott Peterson reporting.
The summer tourism season is here, and it plays a major role in the state's economy. John Edmond is CEO of Explore Minnesota.
In Minnesota, it's a $15 billion industry. There's 270,000 jobs, almost $1 billion in state taxes that are generated from the leisure and hospitality industry. So, yeah, we're the fun industry, but we also bring a lot to our economy as well.
Earlier this spring, Explore Minnesota launched an all-new state tourism marketing campaign that invites travelers to find your true north. A southeastern Iowa city council has taken a step toward making the city a future stop for Mississippi River cruise ships. The Hawkeye reports that the Fort Madison Council approved further talks between city staffers and Viking Cruise Lines representatives. The Swiss-based company is planning 7-day cruises that would start in St. Louis and end in St. Paul, Minnesota. Viking also has talked to Dubuque about building a dock. A 61-year-old Sauk Rapids man who was pulled unresponsive from a lake north of Detroit Lakes has died. Witnesses observed Lyle Nelson trying to grab onto a boat that was going in circles on Island Lake Sunday morning. Rescuers found him unresponsive in the water, and he was flown to a hospital in Fargo, North Dakota. Becker County Sheriff Todd Glander confirmed Monday that Nelson died from his injuries. The incident remains under investigation. Authorities have charged a Minot man for murder in the slaying of his father. Officers responding to a report of a man with a gunshot wound on Friday found 55-year-old Mark Vickerman of Minot dead at the scene. His 28-year-old son Christopher was charged Monday and made an initial court appearance. He did not immediately enter a plea. A police affidavit does not discuss a possible motive in the case. That is a look at our state news. We'll take a break. When we come back, we'll shift our focus to the sports. That's coming up after these words from First Community Credit Union and HN Quality Plumbing.
Open your eyes to a credit union. Hi, this is Jeff Callier with First Community Credit Union. I get asked time and time again, what is a credit union? It's a member-owned financial cooperative that you can be a part of. Our earnings go back to you, our member owners. And with dozens of locations, all the financial services you need, why go anywhere else? Open your eyes to a credit union. See us at First Community Credit Union today, insured by NCUA.
Been thinking of doing some remodeling in your home? If your kitchen or bathroom are part of that plan or you'd like to add a bathroom, stop by HN Quality Plumbing at 535 3rd Avenue Southwest. Take a look at their showroom. They have faucets by Moen, Delta, and American Standard on display for you to choose from. Bathtubs and sinks as well as kitchen sinks all set in a beautiful showroom.
This is Dan Neisted. Stop by and visit with us about your plumbing remodeling ideas. We're open Monday through Friday, 8 to 5, HN Quality Plumbing, 535 3rd Avenue Southwest in Crookston.
Taking a look at our sports news, the Crookston Pirate girls golf team continues their conference dominance as they won the four-team Roseau Invitational at Oak Crest Golf Course in Roseau. Crookston shot a 365, 8 strokes better than Roseau. The co-medalists were Jocelyn Leach and Danny Boyle of Crookston with 76s, 1 stroke better than Kyla LaPlante of Roseau. To figure out the medalist honors for award purposes, Leach won the scorecard playoff. Crookston will return to the links at East Grand Forks on Wednesday. The number 6-ranked Park Rapids Panthers pitcher Riley Michelson threw a perfect game to beat the Crookston Pirates softball team 21-0 in a Section 8 2A game played in Park Rapids. Crookston didn't have a hit in the game, and Park Rapids was led by Kylie Pockle, who was 3-for-3 with 5 RBIs, 4 runs, a grand slam, and a double. Crookston drops to 0-15 on the year and will travel to New Fulton today to play the Northern Freeze, a game you can hear right here on KROX beginning at 4 o'clock. The Pirate boys tennis team won their second match of the year with a 4-3 victory over Grand Rapids before losing to Bemidji 7-0 in a triangular played in Bemidji. Winning for Crookston were Blake Fee, Tanner Janorski, Mason Owens, and the doubles team of Nick and Jack Garman. Crookston will head to East Grand Forks to play Fergus Falls and East Grand Forks in a triangular today. For the stories, stats, scoring, coaches' comments, and more, go to KROXAM.com and click on Sports. Also, as you heard yesterday here on KROX, in high school baseball, West Marshall swept Kitson County Central in a doubleheader, 12-2 and 8-0. And last night, as you heard here on KROX, Shohei Ohtani hit his first home run of the season for the Los Angeles Angels, a towering two-run shot in the third inning against Minnesota ace Jose Berríos that fueled a 5-4 victory over the Twins. Ohtani, who made his 2019 debut last week and his return from Tommy John elbow surgery, reached base on 4 of his 5 plate appearances. His homer was the highlight of a 3-run, 5-hit third inning. Tommy La Stella hit the go-ahead homer in the 6th against Berríos. On the sports schedule for today, again, we have Crookston Pirates softball. They travel to New Fulton to take on the Northern Freeze. 4 o'clock starts our Riverview Elf pregame show. We'll have a 4:30 first pitch right here on KROX. High school baseball today, Crookston hosts a doubleheader against Warroad starting at 4 o'clock. Major League Baseball, the Twins host the Angels at 6:40. We'll join that after our softball coverage wraps up. Crookston boys tennis, they're currently playing at East Grand Forks in a triangular. They got underway at noon against East Grand Forks. At 1:30, they will take on Fergus Falls in their second duel. Crookston boys golf, they're in East Grand Forks this morning at the Valley Golf Course. That began at 9:30 a.m., Junior High Crookston Girls Golf, they're at the Thief River Falls Invitational, which started at noon. That is a look at our sports news. Again, for all these stories, stats, scores, coaches, comments, pictures, and more for all the local teams, you can always go to our website, KROXAM.com, and click on sports. We'll take a break and be back with our local news and the weather. That's coming up after these words from Courtney Polkerbeck, State Farm Insurance, and Hugo's Family Marketplace.
In Crookston and the Red River Valley, you know how much it means to have neighbors you can count on. Like the one who mowed your lawn and trimmed it that week you were sick. Well, here's another good neighbor you can count on, State Farm agent Courtney Polkerbeck in Crookston. Courtney and his team are here to help life go right when you combine your home and auto insurance, which can save you money and time. So combine home and auto and start the savings rolling. Call State Farm agent Courtney Polkerbeck in Crookston today at 281-2234.
Fill your freezer with this week's pizza specials at Hugo's Family Marketplace. Assorted sizes and varieties of Bellatoria pizza are on sale, 2 for $9. Top those pizzas with more cheese. The 6 to 8 ounce assorted essential everyday shredded or chunk cheese, 3 for $5. 16-ounce container of Dean sour cream, 2 for $3. You can find all this week's savings at GoHugos.com.
You're gonna find more low prices, more great stuff when you go to Hugo's.
Taking a look at our local news, the Crookston School Board had a special meeting on Monday in the Crookston High School District Office to approve retirements, hirings, and a resignation of Crookston School Board member Dr. Carrie Miller because her family will be moving to Grand Forks where her husband works at Brady Martin Associates. Miller's resignation will be effective June 7th. School Board member Tim Dufault begrudgingly made the motion to accept the resignation, and Board Chair Frank Fee begrudgingly seconded the motion. The rest of the board unanimously approved the resignation. Miller said being on the board has been a great experience.
Well, first of all, I want to say that I am really saddened to resign from the board because my time has been extremely rewarding. I've appreciated the opportunity to serve along a terrific group of board members, and I believe each one cares deeply about our schools, our kids, and the outstanding faculty that we have here. I would like to just strongly encourage anyone that's interested to run for the position being vacated by my resignation. It is a time commitment, but it's one that I believe directly and positively impacts the lives of our kids and our communities. So, and I do believe that Crookston Public Schools is on the cusp of an exciting future. We had great response with the strategic visioning, and I think that laid out a great roadmap for Crookston Public Schools going forward. And I would just like to thank everyone for the opportunity to serve in this capacity. It really has been an honor and a privilege.
The school district will have a special election in November to fill Miller's remaining term. But Crookston School District Superintendent Jeremy Olson said the board will have a couple options between June 7th and November to fill or not to fill the opening. The board can appoint somebody to the board, or they can take applications and pick from the pool of applicants. The board could also elect not to fill the position, Olson explains.
Yeah, so as far as the have-to-dos, we have to have a special election for a school board that will be in November. The person who is selected by the people will... or the highest vote getter will be starting right away in November as soon as they're issued the oath of office. But the special provision will allow the person to be seated right away in November. Recommendation from MSBA, which is our Minnesota School Boards Association, is that we appoint someone in the interim, so that we appoint someone from June until November. There's an attorney general's opinion that strongly suggests that we fill that vacancy so that we don't deprive people of a voice. And because school board members are representatives of the people, that's something that we very much care about. So what I'm asking the board is, one, the first question is, are we going to appoint or not? Again, highly recommended by MSBA, but the board does have the right to say no to that. And then the second question, if the answer is yes to the first question, the second question would be, do we do direct appointment, meaning that the school board would come up with names themselves and appoint someone, or do we do appointment based on an application process? There's a couple of choices the board has in front of them. I've asked them to think about that, and planning right now on taking action on May 28th if the school board so chooses.
Several personnel items were on the agenda. The first item was to accept a retirement letter from Denise Oliver, principal at Washington Elementary School, effective June 28th.
Yeah, so obviously want to wish Denise the very best as she moves into retirement and thank her for all the years of service she's given the district. I just really have enjoyed working with her. She's a lady that just has a lot of wisdom, and I've really enjoyed working with her, and I've learned a lot from her, and I just wish her the very best.
With the retirement of Oliver, the board approved a 0.56 FTE elementary principal, community education director, curriculum director for the 2019-2020 school year.
That person will be serving Washington School, and we are looking for someone with a principal license that is experienced and that has community ed directing experience, and then also some curriculum directing as well. So we're looking for that right combination of a person, someone that can help provide leadership for Washington School now and into the future. You know, I think if it was a person with the right balance of experience, I think that if there was someone that had previous knowledge of Crookston, I think that person would be very competitive in this position.
The board also accepted the retirement letter of Julie Tiedemann, a paraprofessional at Highland Elementary School, effective May 29th. The board also accepted resignation letters from Amy R. Silva, school age care aide at Washington Elementary School, effective May 3rd, and from Phyllis Hagen, head speech coach, effective May 3rd. The board also approved employment with Chelsea Lossing as a paraprofessional at Highland, effective August 26th, and the hiring of Alexandra Schiffler as an elementary teacher at Highland for the 2019-2020 school year. The board approved the main agenda, including approving a pool use agreement and resolution authorizing the transfer of swimming pool property, fixtures, and equipment to the City of Crookston, the 2019-2020 Crookston High School course offerings, and registration guide, and the board accepted three donations from the United Way. The donations were for $2,500 to the Eat United Summer Food Service Program and $3,625 to the United for Learning Program. The last donation was $500 to the Patch Program. The Crookston School District will have a long-term planning meeting on Tuesday at 5 p.m. in the Crookston School District Office Conference Room. The main topic of discussion will be extracurricular activities, including cooperatives. Three council members voted against calling for a public hearing for the proposed Gateway Overlay District Ordinance that would amend City Code Chapter 152, Zoning, during Monday's council meeting. The resolution to call for the public hearing was pulled from the consent agenda. The proposed ordinance had passed the Ways and Means Committee 2 weeks ago with a 6-1 vote. Councilman Jake Fee, who was out of town for the previous meeting, pulled the resolution from the consent agenda. Fee said there was a lot he liked, but didn't think it should include the industrial area of town along Old Highway 75. One area that Fee said was cause for concern was not allowing gravel driveways or parking lots, saying he could think of at least three businesses that he was under the impression would have to pave those lots if sold. City Administrator Shannon Sasson explained to Fee that the initial assumption that property being sold would trigger the ordinance was no longer active and that only a change of non-conforming use would trigger the need to conform. City Attorney Corky Reynolds also explained it was on a case-by-case basis and each situation would need to be evaluated individually. Reynolds did, however, cite the only example he was aware of from the city of Duluth. In that instance, a business that manufactured iron products was sold for a lumber manufacturer. In that case, Duluth determined it was a significant enough change in use that the lumber business was not grandfathered in. Fee said while there was a lot he liked in the district, he worried about businesses building sitting empty trying to wait for similar nonconforming uses to move in. Councilman Tom Vedbrotten also said an ordinance such as this shouldn't be put in place when the city is trying to land a big business like Epitome. The time to put in is when there aren't businesses considering moving in or out of town. A public hearing will be held May 28th during the next council meeting at the resolution passed 5-3 with Fee, Vedbrotten, and Councilman Bobby Baird voting against proceeding. Baird said he would like to see what is a similar nonconforming use be defined better so that a new council has more clarification.
There's many questions there, and you know, when they say each case is different, but you know what? I might not be on this council 2 years from now, or many of us, and you know, for clarification then, could be a lot of questions here, and they say case by case, so and like I say, I'm just not comfortable with it.
A planning commission preceded council, with both the commission and council voting to approve a variance allowing First Community Credit Union to build their new facility within 36 feet of North Acres Drive. The lot on the north end of town was plotted in 1979, well before the ordinance requiring a 50-foot setback, creating the need for the variance, explained Stassen.
There's just a building plan or design of their building, and their drive-through was constrained by the current setback. So we have a 50-foot setback on the books right now, and they were asking to move that down to 36 feet to accommodate some extra room to make sure that they could have the layout and design that best suits them. So making that difference of 14 feet doesn't impose any hardship on any surrounding businesses or anything like that. So we did send out a notice to all the businesses in a 350-foot radius, didn't hear any negative feedback.
The City of Crookston tobacco-free policy passed unanimously for all city facilities and buildings, with the added line that a personal vehicle is not considered city property. Also passing were the remaining consent agenda items, including the April 22nd minutes, bills and disbursement for $479,369.13, a liquor license for El Gordito, authorization to execute the Minnesota Department of Transportation Airport Maintenance and Operation Grant contract, the awarding of 2019 street improvement projects to R&Q Trucking out of Roseau for $921,126.10, and an agreement with MnDOT for use of the city's parklets along and adjacent to Highway 2. Mayor Guy Martin also issued three proclamations, the first proclaiming 2019 the Sisters of St. Benedict's 100-year centennial, the second declaring the month of May Community Action Month, and the third declaring May 12th through the 18th Riverview Health Week in the city of Crookston. During Monday night's Ways and Means Committee meeting, Roger Garten, an energy management representative with Otter Tail Power Company, presented a lighting audit for City of Crookston facilities. The audit showed moving to LED lighting could save the city nearly $12,000 a year, and if completed by the end of 2019, the estimated rebate for the upgrades would be just over $16,000. Additionally, a switch to LED lighting at Highland Complex would save an estimated $3,958.40 a year. Garten explained how the audit was completed.
We did an energy audit looking specifically at lighting, so it was a light count. We walked through city buildings, counted up light bulbs, quantified what the existing lighting was, got some estimates for what the run hours were, and then used an estimated approximate LED replacement to come up with energy savings, dollar savings, and then rebate potential for seven city buildings plus the Highland Complex that we looked at.
Otter Tail also identified screw-in light bulbs as a low-cost, quick payback measure without contracting an electrician.
Yeah, there's a few screw-in light bulbs, A-based screw-in light bulbs, common to what you'd have in a residential setting. Changing those to an LED is a very quick payback, usually a matter of months, low-cost measure, usually about $1 for an LED screw-in light bulb. That's something that you can do that any homeowner could do as well as the city could do without any contract electrician, something we'd recommend doing immediately.
The committee also approved the April 22nd meeting report in the 2020 budget calendar, which would be scheduled to conclude with the passing of the final levy on December 13th. Two items were brought up in the other portion of the meeting, the first by Councilwoman Cindy Gerswold asking if a stop sign might be possible at 4th Avenue Northeast and Wall Street. Public Works Director Pat Kelly suggested a group comprised of himself, Police Chief Paul Biermeyer, and the contracted city engineer, along with possible councilmen or two, be convened to look at signage around town. He said he didn't think the amount of traffic on Wall Street justified a stop sign, but did say a traffic warrant or study would be the best way to determine that. Biermeyer said the best way to do a traffic and speed study was by finding a spot for a squad car to sit unseen, and then after that to use the speed trailer. The reason he suggested using a squad car and officer initially is that the trailer doesn't provide accurate traffic counts, as it may clock a car up to three times. The second item was brought up by Councilman Bobby Baird relating to Broadway Street Bridge over the Red Lake River. Baird explained that he felt the bridge needed to be addressed due to low ratings by the Minnesota Bridge Inspection in October.
For last year, you know, I may get a lot of calls and comments about, you know, on a sidewalk, the rebar showing up and, you know, a lot of cracks and, you know, kind of concerns. So I know that I always seen them guys out there in November doing inspections, you know. So I brought it up last fall at a council meeting about it. And I did obtain a report that was done October 19th of 18, Minnesota Bridge Inspection Report. You know, and I started looking over, and when they really start looking at items on a bridge, it's based on a scale of 1 to 10. We do have a couple fives and fours on this.
Kelly said the city had included the bridge in their most recent state funding request, which runs on a four-year cycle, but MnDOT didn't feel the bridge needed replacement at that time. He also said it's already planned to be included in the upcoming funding request, City Administrator Shannon Stassen also said the bridge is not something the city would replace without state funding because the state of Minnesota would cover 80% of the cost to replace a bridge they feel needs it, rather than the city spending the $1 million or more to fix it by themselves. Highland Elementary School sixth graders began testing their truss bridges Monday in the class. Mr. Hallen's class began testing their bridges on Monday. Mrs. Scholler and Mrs. Stegman's classes will test their bridges on Wednesday and Friday. Sixth graders have been learning about engineering and need to design their bridges to hold at least 5 pounds of weight. Several of the bridges tested on the first day held in excess of 100 pounds. Riverview Foundation, in memory of longtime Crookston community member Richard Maves, the foundation has established the Richard Maves Healthcare Scholarship for area high school graduates who are enrolled in pursuing a degree in a healthcare field. Richard Maves was a kind-hearted person known for his impeccable work ethic. His life legacy was his career as a pharmacist and successful business owner. Maves managed Eagle Drug in downtown Crookston for 30-plus years. He was self-motivated, highly successful, and well-respected by his retail clients and friends. He passed away in 2015 at the age of 80, but left a lasting impression on the community, professionally and personally. There are five Richard Maves Healthcare Scholarship winners this year. They are Efroina Kustev of Erskine, Forrest Laporte of Crookston, Riley Hermrack of Crookston, Kylie Solheim of Crookston, and Anna Ogard Bracken of Crookston. For information on the scholarship, contact Foundation Director Kent Brune at 218-281-9249 or email kbrune@riverviewhealth.org. The National Weather Service says the Aurora Borealis, or Northern Lights, will be visible over the next few nights after it sprung to life over the region early Tuesday morning. Look to the north if you're away from city lights and under clear skies. The National Weather Service does warn, however, that you have to combat a bright moon that will be present through the majority of the evening. The Crookston Police Department responded to an accident on Monday, May 13th at 6:56 p.m. along University Avenue. The accident occurred between a 2004 Pontiac Grand Am driven by Keel Auk of Crookston and a 2015 Freightliner driven by Terry Penner of Moorhead. Auk was transported via ambulance to Riverview. The Pontiac had severe damage and there was a minor damage to the Freightliner. No citations were issued. The Northwest Regional Correction Center announced the arrest of the following individuals: Tyler Allen Weiss, 28, of St. Paul, for felony third-degree possession of methamphetamine in a school, park, or public housing zone, and Michael Ray Ward, 37, of Erskine, for felony second-degree assault with a dangerous weapon. At 7 a.m. Monday, the Crookston Fire Department was called to a motor vehicle accident at the intersection of University Avenue and North Acres Drive, where a trapped individual had to be rescued from a vehicle, then assisted with cleanup, paperwork, and took pictures. At 3:24 p.m., they responded to a power pole on fire in the alley between 2nd and 3rd Avenues North. They stood by to keep everyone safe until the power company crew effected repairs. At 7:54 p.m., they were called to the 300 block of South Ash, where people trimming trees thought they had downed power lines. It turned out to be old phone lines that had been there for some time. Better safe than sorry. On our obituary desk today, Elsie Marie Bateman, 92, of Crookston, passed away Thursday, May 9th at the Villa St. Vincent Nursing Home in Crookston with her loving family at her side. Elsie is survived by son Ed Bateman of Mill Creek, Washington, seven daughters, Carolyn Stodsted of Grand Forks, Mary Weig of Fargo, Catherine Leach of Monroe, Washington, Janet Brown of Crookston, Judith Qualley of Hawley, and Maureen Auble and Roberta Conlin, both of Crookston. Also surviving are 17 grandchildren, 32 great-grandchildren, and 4 great-great-grandchildren. The massive Christian burial for Elsie Bateman will be held at the Cathedral of the Immaculate Conception at 2:30 Thursday, with the Reverend Vincent Miller presiding. Visitation will be for 1 hour prior to the funeral. Burial will follow in the Calvary Cemetery in Crookston. And Rosemary Ann Vaudrin, 67, of Fargo, North Dakota, died on May 12th at Lilac Homes Assisted Living in Moorhead, Minnesota. Rosemary was born August 31st, 1951, in Crookston to Josephine Nora Hogan and Leopold Vaudrin. She attended school in Crookston and graduated in 1969. She is survived by daughter Kristen Slavik of Olathe Kansas, grandchildren Caitlin and Mitchell Slavik, Aaron, Benjamin, and Maximilian Lindsley, sister Maureen Laurie of Crookston, brothers John Vaudrin of Aurora, Colorado, twin brother Robert Vaudrin of Fargo, and David Vaudrin of Fort Worth, Texas, brother-in-law Jerry DeForn of Crookston, 19 nieces and nephews, many great nieces and nephews, Aunt Patricia Skibel of Canada, special friend Vicky Melby, many cousins and lots of friends. She was preceded in death by her parents, son Nathan Lindsley, son-in-law Andrew Slavik, sister Mary DeForn, brother James Vaudrin, and sister-in-law Diane Vaudrin. That is a look at our local news as we now shift to our weather. Currently here in downtown Crookston, we have 62 degrees with overcast skies overhead and winds out of the north at 12 miles per hour. The barometric pressure at 29.90 inches and the humidity is at 54%. The forecast for the rest of today, mostly sunny, still some isolated chance of rain showers. Highs will be 70 to 75 degrees with north winds 10 to 20 miles per hour. Our chance of showers 20%. Tonight, mostly clear skies, lows in the mid-40s with north winds around 10 miles per hour, shifting to the east after midnight. Wednesday, mostly sunny, isolated rain showers in the afternoon, highs 70 to 75 degrees. Southeast winds around 5 miles per hour, increasing to the south around 15 miles per hour in the afternoon. Our chance of showers for Wednesday, 20%. Wednesday night, mostly cloudy, a chance of rain showers and a slight chance of thunderstorms in the evening. Then a chance of rain showers after midnight, lows 50 to 55. Chance of precipitation, 40% for Wednesday evening. Thursday, mostly sunny, highs in the mid-60s. Thursday night, partly cloudy, lows in the mid-40s. Friday, partly sunny with a chance of rain showers, highs in the mid-60s. Friday night, cloudy with a chance of rain showers, lows 45 to 50 degrees. Saturday, cloudy skies with a chance of rain showers, highs in the mid-60s. Saturday night, cloudy skies, a chance of rain showers, lows 45 to 50 degrees. Sunday, cloudy, a chance of rain showers, highs 55 to 60 degrees. Sunday night, cloudy, a chance of rain showers, lows in the mid-40s. And Monday, mostly cloudy, slight chance of rain showers, highs 50 to 60 degrees. That is a look at our forecast. Again, right now in downtown Crookston, 62 degrees with overcast skies. Yesterday, our high reached up to 73 degrees. Yesterday's low, 46 degrees. Today's average high, 66 degrees. Our average low today, 41 degrees. Our year-ago high, 77 degrees. Year-ago low, 48 degrees. Our low since this morning was 52 degrees. We have received trace amounts of rain so far today. Our record high set back in 1932 was 90 degrees. Our record low set just back in 2016 was 23 degrees. Sun rose this morning at 5:49 a.m. It will set at 8:56 p.m., giving us 15 hours and 7 minutes of daylight today. That is a look at our noontime news here on KROX. The noontime news today was brought to you in part by Stennis Granite Company, First Community Credit Union, Crookston Collision Center, HN Quality Plumbing, Courtney Polkerbeck State Farm Insurance, and Hugo's Family Marketplace. Listen again for another edition of the Noontime News tomorrow.